I tell you, I've been doing this show in Eugene since 1993. Rarely have I looked forward more to having a guest than this man qualifies. Put it this way, when he began broadcasting Duke games, Coach K was the Army head coach, and Duke had a guard, a young Jim Spanarkle, and had made a total of 2 Final Fours. It's a little bit different now. My pleasure to welcome in the voice of the Blue Devils, Bob Harris. Bob, really appreciate your time. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Steve. How you doing?
Great. You know, love this time of year.
Boy.
I've got to ask, when people meet you for the first time or, say, do a radio interview, on average, how long does it take before you get asked about Hill to Leitner and look out Minneapolis, here come the Blue Devils?
Well, I think I've done it on all 5 interviews that I've had today, so it's a part of it. I wrote a book 5 years ago, and when I was doing my interviews with a couple of players, I did a whole chapter on that game. And when Christian and I finished our interview, we're sitting there and Cameron in the seats, and I looked over at him and I said, you know, Bud, whether you or I want either like it or not, we're going to be locked together for the rest of our lives because of your great ability to make a shot in a pressure situation and my blind luck to make a decent call. And he looked at me and popped me on the shoulder with his fist and grinned. He says, I'm okay with it if you are. I said, darn right I am. But it has given me more notoriety than anything I could have ever envisioned.
Now, back in 1980, Duke had made a regional final. Their coach, Bill E. Foster, left to replace a legend, Frank McGuire, at South Carolina. You guys got a new coach in Durham. He was only 33 at the time, kind of learned at the side of Bob Knight. I'm kind of curious if you remember, what was the feeling at Duke at the time? A young coach. How was Coach K viewed back then?
You mean Coach Krzyzewski?
Yeah.
Because that's how he introduced himself at the press conference that day.
Wow.
And, and then about a year and a half later, I said, Mike, have I been mispronouncing your name for all these years you've been here? He said, no, you've been using the Americanization. With Polish is Krzyzewski, the Americanization is Krzyzewski. I said, okay, thanks, Coach Krzyzewski. And I've been calling that ever since. And, it's ironic that, and my wife figured this out this week and told me about it. And I told Mike on the plane last night coming out here, I said, we have something in common. And he said, what's that? I said, the number 33. You were 33 when Duke hired you, so was I. But mine was about 5 years before yours. So it's amazing that those little numbers sometimes fall out of the sky at you. And it's been a good story to tell anyway.
Well, now, maybe next time I play a daily double, I'll play 3-3. Talking Duke basketball, the voice of the Blue Devils, Bob Harris. Obviously, saw the 30-30 on Christian Leitner. And, of course, Duke, you would call it a target program. You don't generate neutral reactions. So I'm kind of curious, be it Leitner, J.J. Redick, or another player, when it's time to visit a true enemy territory, who's the guy that you just shake your head and is like, man, that kid puts up with some mean stuff?
Well, I think, you named 2 right there. Grayson Allen has joined that club. And we've had somebody almost every year that opposing fans just despise, and they pick him out and target him. And I think every one of them have held it handled everything just the right way and didn't cause any riots or problems or anything like that. But I tell you what, Christian just really, he got ripped from stem to stern after that shot. And, I really don't think that Christian was the rogue or whatever you want to call it. He had an edge is what he had. He loved to play basketball, and he loved to win basketball games. And he could not put up with his teammates not giving their very best every minute they were on the floor or in practice, whatever. He would especially make the big guys, he would pick on them and just almost brutalize them until they stood their ground. And once they pushed back, then they had his respect, but not until then. And I think that's the big thing that I remember about Christian. J.J. was just, you know, he was so good. He could hit shots from anywhere. I've seen him come out of games just bruised and bloody, you know, where people just, you know, opponents just beat the dickens out of him, you know, and they didn't, you know, he didn't get the foul calls in his favor. And we see a lot of that, you know. It's just, you know, they're supposed to be that good, and they're supposed to be ready to, you know, to take it.
Bob, Coach K, obviously as successful as they come in the coaching profession, period. And guys like that, I think, have a tendency to downplay all their accomplishments. But last year, winning it all for the fifth time, only John Wooden has more. To be in such exclusive company, you're so close to him. How much do you think that meant to Mike?
Well, you know, I think it will mean a whole lot to him once he retires and has time to sit back and reflect. But as busy as he keeps himself with not just Duke basketball, but with the USA basketball and coaching the Olympic teams, things like that, I don't think he really takes time to reflect on the accomplishments that he has. I've asked him several times. I said, you know, will you take some time this summer and reflect on this? He said, well, maybe one summer, but not this one. I've got too many things to do. So that's just the way he approaches things. He's a very unassuming person in situations like that. I don't think he does he doesn't coach for those accomplishments. The accomplishments that he looks for are in individuals, and seeing them grow from freshmen to seniors or whatever, as long as they stay at Duke. And that's, I think, the real reason that he coaches and has such a good time doing it.
You know, this has been kind of an interesting season for Duke. You know, they had an historic bad streak, lost to three unranked teams in a row. Enter the tournament. Everybody thought UNC Wilmington was dangerous. They needed a strong second half, withstood the rally by Yale. Of course, the injury to Emile Jefferson in December. How impressed are you with this group kind of finding another way and getting back to the Sweet 16?
Well, you know, I'm not really surprised, but I am proud that they have done that and listened to what the coach has been to tell them and get them to do and play a certain way, because he can look at a group of young men and he can figure out ways to win with them if they'll only listen to him and do it the way he says do it. And, you know, most of the time that happens. There have been a few times that it hadn't happened, but you know, sometimes they would go up against, you know, a team that had better talent or was a hotter team that day or whatever. But I think he's really done a great job with this group because, you know, you look at there's three freshmen in the top six players. And you got Grayson Allen, who's a sophomore. And one of the captains is Matt Jones, who's a junior. And one of our seniors got hurt. 9 games into the season, hasn't played and will not play. He'll take a red shirt, medical red shirt, hopefully, and get to come back next year as a senior again. But that's just the way Mike is. He knows how to fit the pieces of the puzzle together to make it look the prettiest and make it stand up and really get some recognition, and that's what he's hoping this team will do.
Talking Duke Hoops with the voice of the Blue Devils, Bob Harris. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about a Duke Duck football connection. You're the guy that calls their football games. Matt Lubick, who was an offensive assistant, now Oregon's offensive coordinator. What do you remember about Matt as a receivers coach and, you know, the fact that he's achieved such a prominent position with such a strong program?
Yeah, he has done a great job, and I'm so happy for him. And, you know, we had a good relationship when he was in Durham, and I knew that he was not going to be one of those guys that stayed there and made a career out of being an assistant coach, a position coach. And I'm so happy that he got with a great program like Oregon and was able to get a good position there. And I know he's got head coaching potential, and I'm sure that when the right conditions come along, the right job comes along, he'll take it. But he's not going to just jump at any job just to be a head coach. Too many young guys do that. But I know Matt won't do that. He'll wait for the right opportunity.
Well, he certainly developed a great reputation here already. Mm-hmm. All right, I want to get back to hoops. Earlier I mentioned, you know, obviously Duke with North Carolina, Kentucky, Indiana. You're talking about a blue blood program. But this is the first time Oregon has even made the field four straight years, this run under Dana Altman. I'm curious, mm-hmm. as somebody who's so wired into college basketball, say compared to 4 or 5 years ago, how much more on the national radar would you say Duck basketball is now?
Well, I think it is. It's really jumped up in the perception of the national media and the national fan bases. That, you know, you look at the accomplishments that they've had in the last 4 years, and they have done a great job with that program. And you know, I'm just glad it was just started 4 years ago, because if it had started about 8 years ago, we might not have had Kyle Singer in Duke. He might have been wearing the Duck uniform too. But you know, it's been really good to watch the program as it has developed and become a national power.
Final question for Bob Harris. You mentioned some of these guys, Grayson Allen, all ACC, Brandon Ingram was ACC Freshman of the Year, Luke Kennard, McDonald's All-American. You mentioned Matt Jones, another Plumlee, Thornton. So I think to the casual fan, this might not be the who's who Duke team, but would it be safe to say, in preparing for this game and moving forward, you don't want to take this group lightly, because while a little thinner, still pretty talented and pretty darn well coached?
I agree. Yeah, that they are very well coached, and they have improved so much during the season since that losing streak we had back in January. And I think, you know, you have to look at the way that the teams played Duke, and the schedule we had in February it was crazy, because we played Louisville twice, we played Carolina twice, we played NC State twice, all in the month of February and early March, excuse me. And so that's that's just not the way you draw out a schedule to make it equal for all the teams. But that's the lot that we drew this year, and I thought they handled it extremely well down the stretch. A couple of falters, but that's going to happen. So I think this team is going to be one that will be remembered for a lot of good things, and hopefully, you know, some more basketball.
He will be behind the mic Thursday night, trip to the Elite Eight on the line, one of the best in the biz. We truly appreciate you taking some time to share your knowledge and insights with us. You travel safe, and thank you so much for joining us, Bob. We really appreciate
it. Steve, you're so welcome, and thank you for inviting me. I've enjoyed it, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
You got it. Enjoy. Take
All
care,
right.
Bob.
Take care.